Professor Richard Brew, teaches history in the School of Historical and European Studies at La Trobe University. I'm sure there's a name known to many of you.
Thank you. Well, yes, I just want to reiterate, I am a historian and I've been teaching and researching Aboriginal history for probably 30 years, a long time now. And I've written a number of things, a general history of Aboriginal people in Australia, history of Aboriginal Victorians, which is an overview history, and some other works on work, Aboriginal people at work on colonial frontiers, Aboriginal people in sport. But I want to talk to you today about a course I was involved in, and it originated because Ithaca College in the US, in New York State, wanted to create a study abroad experience for their own students, and so they approached a number of universities, and so we tendered for the job of offering some courses. There were to be four courses, 18 days each at three universities. So eventually a consortium was established, University of Western Australia, which taught Australian Media Studies, the University of Tasmania that taught Australian Environmental Studies, and La Trobe. We were to teach two courses, one in Australian Literature and one in Indigenous Studies, and that was the one I would be involved in. So we were dealing with a group of students who were basically here to have a great time. And especially as American students, the drinking age is 21, they were always going to push the boundaries and have a great time. So we knew that we had to do something that was going to be engaging, otherwise they wouldn't connect academically, but they had to connect academically because the work was to be counted for their degree back in the US. Most of them were second or third year undergraduates, and most of them were not doing anything connected with what we were going to teach them. They were mainly doing commerce courses or marketing courses, etc., etc. So it did provide some significant challenges. So we decided to run a course in the long view of Indigenous past in Australia. That is, the archaeologists and the historians would get together, which was a very innovative thing because we'd never taught together in that way. So we devised a subject that would have 7 days of archaeology, 7 days of history, and then we would have 4 days of excursions. And so it was a challenge to try and teach Aboriginal history in 7 sessions of 3 hours over 7 consecutive days to students who didn't do any reading, basically, and also to teach archaeology in the same way. But I tended to work from what I could give them in the classroom. I'd give them an hour lecture or thereabouts, I'd show them a film, and then we'd have a discussion and I'd get various exercises coming out of that material that they had, and that seemed to work pretty well. But for me, the main teaching tool was going to be the excursion. And I think always with any student, whoever they are, I think the excursion is the great thing, but it's usually too hard to do, it's expensive, it's difficult to manage because they have other subjects, and they always say, no, I can't go on this day, on that day. So the excursion is a nightmare to organise, but with these students was a little bit easy because they were a captive audience with us for 18 days. Now, in my own research work, I built up connections with a lot of communities across Victoria because my Aboriginal Victorians book had featured the stories of 30 people that I'd interviewed, and they were woven in with all the archives and other documents that I'd been able to find. So I had built up connections, and so I thought, well, a great place to take people would be the Grampians because it's a wonderful natural place. It has an Aboriginal community, the Budgie community, connected to the people of the southwest. And also I had done research with several of the people in the area. So I made approaches to them, and particularly a person called Brendan Edwards. And Brendan said yes, he would be very interested in receiving students and working with them and talking with them. And so that's what we organised. So The excursion was 3 days. We also went to the Koori Heritage Trust as well about a week later at the very end of the course. That, to just jump to that, wasn't so successful because when you take a group of American students into Melbourne, it's very hard to get them focused on going to one place because they'll tend to disperse. So that was a bit difficult. But to go up in a bus to the Grampians was a very cohesive and bonding experience. I also attached it to assessment. And the assessment that we did was, I thought, well, what can I do that they can manage, that we can do on site, they can write it up when they get back on the next day, on a lay day, because everything has to happen. They've got to have 4 pieces of work done in this 18 days and then they're out of here. So I devised an essay that would look at representations. And this was to look at the representations of Aboriginal people in the Grampians area. And therefore they were to look, to listen and to collect things. And they were to look particularly at the published material, whether it be tourist brochures put out by the Tourist Association or the town or Aboriginal people in the area, to look at the labels on things in presentations, say at Brambruck, and there's a Brambruck Cultural Centre, a very important cultural centre at the Grampians. And so they were to look at the representations of Aboriginal people by themselves and by others about them. And then I got them to read Tony Birch's very interesting article, and Tony Birch is a Koori guy and now attached to Melbourne University. And Tony wrote a very interesting article in the Mianjin about 10 years ago about the battle over the name change for the Grampians Garry Weird National Park. And this was a very interesting struggle because the government had actually made the initiative at one stage about changing names but hadn't consulted with Aboriginal people. And so it was really ended up quite a disaster, and of course then it created a significant backlash from the community who didn't want to lose the word Grampians because this had been there for 150 years. They also thought it had a label in terms of the tourist imagination, and it certainly did, and they didn't want to change to Garry Weird. And of course the outcome has been that there's been dual labelling, so the park now is Grampians Garry Weird. So that was a great article, and of course the whole essay was about the power of knowledge in colonialism and how knowledge is a form of domination. So it was a very good teaching tool to set that sort of essay. And so this was the way I was going to get them focused. Well, let's talk about the practical outcomes. One was that just going to Garry Weird had an enormous impact because I think the bonding of going to a place together and experiencing it has a very powerful impact. And I hope that it did consolidate what had gone in the classroom because they had been taught about archaeological sites, how they were created, how they were managed and other things about Aboriginal archaeological evidence. But I'd also been talking about them, about the history of colonisation and the impact of people. And their other piece of work they had to do was they had to read one Aboriginal autobiography or biography or as told to story. They had to read one and engage with it over their 10 or 15 days they were here and then write an essay about it. So that I was trying to, I think, foreground Aboriginal voices in these two things. Now, it was interesting to me that while ever they liked the traditional information they were getting, there was a little bit of an overload because when they were in Western Australia, they'd got some. When they went to Tasmania, they'd got a traditional presentation. And then I took them to Kirit Barit in Ballarat on the way up to the Grampians and then at Brambuck itself. So I think to a degree they started to get a little bit of overload on traditional culture. But what they really liked were two things. One was the experience of being in the bush and visiting rock art sites. And that was a very powerful thing to them. Now, some people find the Victorian sites a bit disappointing if they've been up to the north. I think they don't understand that they're much older sites, that they've experienced the impact of colonisation, that had to be fenced off because of vandalism. They haven't been revitalised for a long time, unlike a lot of the northern sites. But these students were not disappointed, and they did feel as though they were connecting with other people from other times in other cultures, but they also did connect to them as something real and something. So I think one of the things was the authenticity that emerged from this experience with the rock art painting. And so that had a big impact. And of course, being in the Australian bush was a great experience for these Americans who live in the north east of the US, where the woods are extremely different in the nature of the vegetation and the whatever. So they actually really liked that too. So it had enormous impact on them. The other thing was that when we went to the rock art sites, we were led by Brendan Edwards, who told them about the sites and in particular about the contemporary use of the sites. And I think that was a really important thing, because that again reinforced the authenticity of what was going on. Because Brendan said, look, I can't tell you a lot of things about these sites because of the impact of colonisation on our people. But I can tell you that when the young fellas in our group have a bit of trouble, or get into trouble, or have the trouble between themselves, I bring them up here and we sit down and we look at the sites, we're in the bush and we talk it through. And sometimes heads are banged together, but it's sorted out. So he said, you know, this is a place of reconciliation and a place of healing for us, and it's really important. And we actually built these paths and we actually designed this shelter. And we had a long community discussion about how this, and this is really a beautiful one. The other one's a sort of cyclone wire fencing, but this one has got wonderful fluent shape to it, and it's made in a different sort of material. So that having Brendan talk to them was, I think, an extremely important experience. The other thing was, on the last day, we went to the Budja Budja community, which is in Halls Gap, and we did a number of things. One was we started off with a barbecue, and Brendan said, well, I'll get a bit of bush tucker. So we had a bush tucker barbecue, whatever he could get on the land in the previous couple of days, usually some eel, a bit of kangaroo, maybe a bit of emu. And so the students found that, you know, really interesting. But I think the more important thing was that they were able to wander around the cooperative to see what was there. There are a lot of rooms for health professionals to visit Halls Gap. They saw a whole lot of pamphlets created by Koori organisations, Koori people, and they were able to take pamphlets, and that was part of their collecting for their essay. And then after that, Brendan talked with them. And I think this was, for them, again, really important, really authentic, because Brendan talked about the issues of today. And he talked about the issues that young Aboriginal people got involved with, either issues of work or problems of not getting work, issues of abuse of substances, and then getting in trouble with the law and how that was sorted out. And he talked about things like the Koori Court and whatever. And he was talking to 18 and 19-year-olds, and some of them, you know, had maybe similar issues. And so that really connected with them. And I know in the essays of theirs that I read, the talks with Brendan were some of the most important things they talked about. And I think it was because partly of the contemporary nature. So they were interested. They knew about, you know, they wanted to find out about traditional culture, but they wanted to find out about contemporary Aboriginal culture as well. And that was important because, you know, Kooris down south sometimes have a problem about authenticity. And they were saying, well, why isn't your skin darker? And, well, Brendan said, well, we've suffered 150 years of colonisation, and this has happened, and this has happened. And the students went, oh, okay. So they're essentialised views of what Aboriginal people might be like were ruptured, and that was an important learning experience. So that really, I think the whole thing was that the experience did have that ring of authenticity, and I think that's important in teaching. Students have got to see that what they're doing is worthwhile. They're actually paying, and these guys are paying big time. In the US, they're paying $40,000 per year for their degree. They'll end up with a $160,000 debt at the end of it. So they want to know what they're doing is important and authentic, and I think they felt that the written work they did, the experiences they had, were authentic and genuine, and therefore, I think, memorable. And of course, for the community, it was memorable too. They were quite chuffed that these people from the US were interested in their lives, were coming a long way to be engaging with them, and also, of course, when Brendan led, he got well paid for what he was doing, and the barbecue also was brought a payment per head for the community. So Budgie Budgie got a bit of an income. And that's my time. And that's my talk. Thank you.